Turn with us in your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, please. The book of Mark, chapter number 5. I know that it hasn't been too long ago. I don't really keep track. I could look at the internet and tell you that I was in this text, but I'm back again today, believing that the Lord is leading me this way. I can't get off of my heart and off of my mind that song, "It's Different Now." And I preached on that subject last Sunday morning, "It's Different Now," out of Romans chapter number 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. And I've been chewing and meditating this week on people in the Bible who would testify to the fact it's different now after they met Jesus. And I don't know of a stronger case, so to speak. It's a miracle when anybody gets saved. If somebody said, "Do you believe God does miracles?" He does that every time somebody's saved by the grace of God. But I also believe God does other miracles as well. He's not changed. Amen. Thank God for His presence. Let's stand and reverence the Word of God, if you're able, this morning. Mark chapter number 5. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I spent 10 years with the Rock of Ages prison ministry, and I've actually witnessed men walking through the prisons with their legs shackled, their hands shackled, and then there was a chain connecting their hands and their feet. And I'll be honest with you, I've looked at the chain and I looked at the shackles, and it would scare me to death to think that anybody could just break what they had them shackled with. This man, he has supernatural power. He's demon-possessed. And you've heard somewhere along the way maybe about somebody in a car accident or driving up on a car accident, and maybe one man or two men taking and lifting a vehicle off of somebody because of the adrenaline, that supernatural strength that was given to him. And this man, he was in a mess. He's dwelling among the tombs. He's breaking the chains. And always night and day, in verse 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I read that last night. It'd be bad enough to cut yourself with a knife. Do you know how jagged a cut would be to cut yourself with a stone? I'm telling you, it's pitiful. "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' But he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. They were afraid. I didn't mean to do it, but I'm going to stop right there and just say this. I believe this old boy would say it's different now.
Amen.
I believe everybody that saw him said he's different now. Amen. He was a madman, a crazy man. The Bible said when they saw it, they told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, or that's another way of saying he asked Jesus. He asked him that he might be with him. He said, Lord, I want to go with you. I'm going to tell you, if you ever meet him, you want to go with him. If you ever meet him, you want to walk with him. The Bible said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Is there anybody in the house that God had compassion on you? Amen. I'm going to tell you, if there's anything the Church of the Living God needs today, it's more compassion. You say, Pastor, people's messed up their lives. I'm going to tell you something right now. I serve a Savior that specializes in messes. Amen. That's all he found when he found me was a mess. Amen. The Bible said, and he departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And I love this. And all men did marvel. You can be seated. Pray for us, and we'll preach this morning what God's put on our heart. Father, we thank you this morning for the grace of God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for these stories in the Bible, Lord, that let us know, our Father, Lord, that you're still in the life-changing business. I pray, dear Father, this morning that Jesus would just manifest his power, manifest his grace, manifest his glory in our presence this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us today because, Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to just call the message today. It's different now, the maniac of Gadara. But I want to ask the question this morning in the onset of the message, what is it that made the difference? What is it that made the difference? There's a song that says, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Yeah. Amen. And what is it that made the difference in this man's life? Just by way of introduction this morning, I'll just go ahead and give you the first point in the message and then kind of tie in a few things there by way of introduction. But what made the difference, first of all, was the Savior's presence. You see, Jesus had been out there on the sea. There was a great storm, if you read the verses prior to this. And the disciples had said to Jesus, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And in verse 40 it said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And the Bible said they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? For even the wind and the sea obey him. I want to say this morning, the onset of the message, it's the Savior's presence. And the Savior had to come through a storm to get to where this man was. And God wants me to say this morning. Some of our people, you precious people, are going through storms in your life right now. But I want to tell you this. Keep your eye on the Lord. Listen to me carefully. Listen if you don't hear nothing else I say this morning. There's someone on the other side of that storm that needs help. Amen. And God wants to help you through that storm. He could have delivered you from the storm, but he's chosen for you to be in the storm. He loves you. But I want you to know this. He doesn't just love you. There's somebody on the other side of that storm that needs you. That needs you to have compassion on them. And the only reason that we can do that, beloved, is because of him that lives in us. Amen. It's not really us but it's He that lives in us, the Savior of the world. The Savior's presence made the difference. You see, I was reading in a commentary, and it said in the commentary that Jesus didn't come to him. But I want to give you something, beloved. Listen, that's not so. Jesus did come to him. When Jesus showed up on the shore, yes, the man ran to Jesus. Amen. Are you? But listen, it ties together something I've been teaching for years. The Word of God said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And yet the Bible said in another place, there's no man that seeketh after God. And you say, Pastor, how do you marry those scriptures together? How do you make sense of it? It's real easy when you think about it, beloved. When He shows up in His presence, it's time to seek the Lord. Amen. And when He comes by, amen, it's time, beloved, to get serious about the things of God. And when this man found out, beloved, that Jesus had stepped off on the shore where he was, he ran to him. Amen. I'll tell you what a blessing. We ought to be praying every Sunday, oh God, just come in our midst. Oh God, just make your presence real. Oh God, just give sinners an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Help them, Lord, not to run from you, but to run to you. Amen. When you show up in the midst, the Savior's presence made the difference. I don't know about you. I was thinking this morning, I wasn't going to mention this till tonight. We'll probably gather in the altar tonight and pray for one of our missionaries, Brother Don Babayan. He's a precious man of God. He's in the Philippines doing a work for God. He sent me a picture a couple weeks ago. I showed it to our teenagers this morning. He's baptizing. And at the house for the last couple of years for my grandchildren, we've had a little kiddie pool. It's about that deep, and I guess it's about 8 or 9 feet wide and 10 or 12 feet long. And the big kiddie got in at a time or two, amen, with the little kiddies, amen. But Brother Don, they're baptizing in that. That's what they set up, filled it up with water. And that's their baptistry, amen, that little kiddie pool. And they're baptizing them youngins and baptizing those moms and dads in that little kiddie pool. Well, 2 weeks ago when Brother Don texted me, he was on cloud nine. He's sending me pictures of baptizing. I'm telling you, things can turn around in a hurry. And now the people that own the church are wanting to demolish it. The people that own his home are wanting to demolish it. Amen. And he's been falsely accused of something he didn't do by another pastor. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, it could turn around. And he's in a storm. Amen. And we need to pray that God will help our missionary. Amen. And I believe God will help him. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, I'm just saying all that to say this. You can be on the mountain this morning and 2 weeks later, beloved, be in the deepest valley of your life. Amen. But thank God there's somebody that's present in the valley just like he is on the mountain, and he'll help us. Amen. This man needs help, and the only one that can help him has stepped off on the shore right there where he is. The Savior's presence is going to make the difference in this man's life. He runs to Jesus. He come over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know something? Listen to me carefully. If you'll read this and study it, you'll understand that those demons recognized Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, beloved, right now. They even give him the right title. They thought by doing that, beloved, that they could exercise authority over him. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. There's none that has more power than him. And the Savior's presence, he comes up, he steps off on the shore. Here comes this man running. You say, oh, Pastor, how did they know? I'll tell you, those demons knew who Jesus was. He had a man with an unclean spirit. He's dwelling among the tombs, among the dead people. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. My son-in-law has a saying, and some of you guys that's hung around him, Brother Justin, you've probably heard him say this. You do something, you know, and he'll say, you're out of control. That's what, am I right? I mean, that's one of his favorite sayings. He'll say, you're out of control. You're out of control. Here's a man that literally is out of control. No man can bind him. Amen. But when the Savior shows up, beloved, things are about to be different now. Let me give you this morning. Secondly, in the message, what made the difference in this man's life? The Savior's presence. But then secondly, what made the difference in this man's life is the Savior's power. I believe this morning that in this building, there are situations, there are people that you're thinking about and you're thinking it's hopeless. You're thinking there's no way, beloved. Listen, I've got somebody on my heart and on my mind right now very close to me. And I'm telling you, it looks hopeless. It looks like it'll never change. But I have to be reminded that there's a God to heaven that has power. Amen. He has power over the demons. He has power over the demon of pornography. He has power over the demon, beloved, of drink and drugs and lust. I serve a God that has power over the demon of pride. Amen. I serve a God that has power, beloved, listen, that is bigger than any problem that you and I could ever face. Amen. He's the God of heaven. And he has power to deal with that this morning that needs to be dealt with in our lives or someone that we know, beloved. And I'll tell you something. Listen to me carefully. You know what the demons are upset about? Listen to me carefully. You'll like this. I believe it'll teach us something. You see, even a sinner, and a boy or a girl, and that's the way God still makes them, by the way, is boys and girls. Male and female created he them. Say amen. I'm telling you, even a boy or a girl, a teenager, a young man or a young lady, or beloved, a young adult or a middle-aged adult, listen, you know what the Bible said? We're made in the image of God. That's what God did. He made us in the image of God. Amen. Now, if that ain't bad enough, beloved, see, Satan hates the image of God in your life and in my life. Then when we get saved by the grace of God, he begins to turn the heat up. Say amen. He can't stand for the image of God to be coming out of your life and to be coming out of my life. He despises that, so he's going to fight that. I want to say something to you this morning. A lost person can be possessed with the devil. I do not believe, the Scripture does not teach, that a saved person will ever be possessed with the devil. But I believe a saved person can be oppressed by the devil. Amen. I believe, beloved, that there are demons, listen, of depression. There are demons of degradation. There are demons of doubt. Amen. I believe that that what Satan hates is for the image of God to begin to raise up in an individual's life. And he wants to tear that down any way that he can. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, this Savior's power is about to show up here on the scene. The Bible said he couldn't be chained. The fetters couldn't hold him. The chains couldn't hold him. He's dwelling among the tombs. He's cutting on himself. Look at verse 6, the first word, but. I'm telling you, it's a fixing to be different now. Amen. There's a man called Jesus going to show up on the scene. And the Bible said, but when Jesus, he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. That word worship there means he bowed down in front of him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with ye, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. I'm glad this morning it doesn't matter what the problem is. We have a Savior that's bigger than that problem. It doesn't matter, beloved, what the addiction is. We have a Savior that's bigger than that addiction. We have a Savior, beloved, that has power to deliver people. You see, Pastor, you say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, that's our problem. We're not believing God. God wants us to believe Him. Amen. I'm telling you, I told someone the other day, if you're looking for a candidate to be a preacher, I'd be the least likely in the whole world, but God. If he was looking for somebody to be a pastor's wife, she'd be the most least likely candidate in the whole world, but God. I'm telling you, beloved, God, beloved, can take a little shepherd boy off of the backside of the desert and put him a heart after his own heart and make him a king. That's the God that I serve. He has power, beloved, listen, to change the situation and to change individuals. He has power this morning. The Savior's presence. You could ask this old boy today, how come it's different? He'd say, because Jesus showed up one day. Amen. How come it's different? He'd say, because Jesus is bigger than them demons that was living inside of me. And Jesus had more power, beloved, than those demons that were living inside of me. Oh, beloved friend, the Savior's presence made the difference. The Savior's power made the difference. I wanted you to go down with me now in the text. We know about them going into the hogs. And beloved, legion, many, means many. And there was 2,000 hogs. Is that what it said there? I believe it was about 2,000. About 2,000, they're choked in the sea. I believe there's that many demons in that man. As a demon for every hog, say amen. And beloved, it's a sad day, but here in this town, beloved, there's people more upset about losing their hogs than they are one man getting help. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's about the way it is today, the materialism that's in the world. The next thing I want you to see, not only the Savior's presence made the difference, and the Savior's power made the difference, but the Savior's peace made the difference. Beloved, there's only one place you're going to get real peace. Jesus said, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, there is a peace, beloved, that's of the world, that's a false peace. But then there is a peace. You remember the Bible said, when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, America's went to sleep on God. And we went to sleep in a cesspool of sin. And I believe God's going to wake her up one day. Amen. I believe we're going to get hit. And I believe we're going to get hit hard. I don't wish that. I don't want that. But I'm telling you right now, God did not apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He won't apologize to them. And we're not going to get by with what's going on in this country that we live in. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're sick in our soul in this country. And we need help. We need the peace. Not that the world gives, but the peace that only the Savior can give. You say, Pastor, I don't see any peace in this scripture. I'll show it to you since you couldn't find it. Let's look here. The Bible said here. Let's go down here in verse number 14. They fed the swine. They told it in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what it was that was done, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Look at that word. Anybody know what was is in the English language? That's a past tense. You want to know why the word was is there? Because it's different now. Amen. Watch this now. He was possessed with the devil and had, you know the English language. That's another one. I thank God for marrying an English teacher. I know a little bit, amen, anyway, about the English language. Had, in other words, that's past tense again. But now, look at this. There's the was and there's the had. But now, beloved, is the present tense. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. You say, Pastor, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Lord took out the mess. He took out the demons. And beloved, listen to me. Listen carefully right here. God does not only remove the bad when we come to Jesus, but honey, he's got a bucket load of good that he dumps in a man's soul. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you'll begin to love things you never thought you could love. You'll have a peace. You'll have a joy that beloved, that's unspeakable. I'm telling you, beloved, that God not only takes out the bad, but he gives us the good. And the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith, amen, and temperance against the goodness. Against such there is no law, the Word of God said. In other words, beloved, listen, if a person just gets emptied out and nobody moves in, then some other demon will move in. Say amen. Seven times worse than the first. But I'm telling you, if you get emptied out and God dumps his bucket load in, it'll bless you for the rest of your life. Amen. Beloved, there's a peace that passes all understanding. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Oh, beloved friend, I've got to stop. I know it's been a while since I told this. I know I've told it, but there are people here today that's not heard it. My first cousin, Devin, you'll like this story because you got under a burden. Your butt didn't hardly hit the couch after you got up out of the floor until you had a burden for somebody that you love, a burden for somebody that's precious. I got saved on a Sunday night, and on Tuesday night I decided I was going to go out and visit a while. And so there's an old boy in our church, and he knew that God had done something wonderful for me, and he said, "I just wanted to go with you. I just wanted to see what was going on." And so I said, "Let's go." He said, "Where are we going?" I said, "I don't know." We started down the road, and God put my first cousin on my heart. My first cousin's name was Bob. And Bob, he was just an old country boy, worked on the farm, big, strong, stout young man. And he was just like his daddy, strong as an ox. And I went to see Bob, and long story short, I presented the gospel to Bob. And you know what Bob did? He made an altar out of a coffee table. He knelt, Brother Dale, at the end of that coffee table. He cried out to God. He poured his heart out to the Lord. And we got back. We're sitting on the couch now. If you can imagine Bob sitting here. We're sitting on the couch. And I don't like to leave people with no assurance. I want them to see that it's what God says in His Word. Amen. We're not saved because of some emotion. We're not saved because of something we think. But God has a no-so salvation for those that trust Jesus. So I got my Bible out and I said, "Bob, I want you to look at this. It says here, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And when I'm doing that, Bob's looking right in there with me, "that you may know that you have..." And I just stopped. Now all I wanted to do was read the two words, "eternal life." But I turned and I looked, and Bob had his head laid back on the couch. He said, "Peace." I said, "Bob, look at the Bible with me a minute. I want you to see it right here in the Word of God. Bob, it says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what?" Here he is again. He said, "Peace." I done it the third time, and the word "peace" had about six syllables in it. Peace. I said, "Bob," I closed my Bible. I said, "You got peace. That's all matters." Amen. I'm telling you, there's a man right here in the Word of God. It's different now because God has done put His peace in his heart. He can sit down at the feet of Jesus. He can hear the Word of God. He's clothed and he's in his right mind. It's God that done that. The Lord Jesus, amen. What made the difference, young man? Well, the Lord showed up. He had power to deal with what needed to be dealt with. And He put a peace in my heart, preacher, that I can't explain, amen. I believe that old boy laid down that night. And you know what he knew for the first time in his life? "If I don't make it till morning, Brother Ralph, he'll meet you over yonder on that other shore," amen. He had that peace in his heart. Amen. Beloved, I'll ask you this today. Do you have peace in your heart? I'm going to tell you, if you do, I know where it come from. I love the song that said, "The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you." Amen. "My peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth." I'll give you this, and I'm through this morning. I want you to think about this for just a moment. It's different now in this man's life. The Savior's presence made the difference. The Savior's power made the difference. The Savior's peace made the difference. But there's something else, beloved. Listen, this speaks to my heart this morning. The Savior's purpose made the difference. You see, this man's life among the tombs was all about himself. The demons just had him all wrapped up in himself. But now he's got a purpose in life, Sister Marie. What is his purpose? You see, I think it's wholesome. I think it's right. And I think it's only natural for a person that's met Jesus to want to go with him. Brother Justin, "Lord, I want to go with you. You're leaving. I want to go with you." Actually, they're running him out of town. And he wanted to go with him. But his purpose, Jesus said, "I want you to go home, son." You see, Jesus don't just love you, friend. He loves your family. He said, "I want you to tell your friends I want you to tell your family how great things the Lord had done for thee. Amen. And how that he had compassion on thee. You know, I got to thinking about something. I don't know why, Brother Don. I never thought about it before. But this dear man, if he's been cutting on himself all them years, brother, with stones, he's got scars all over him. He probably ain't much to look at. I don't know. That's going on today, beloved. There's young people today that's cutting on theirself, and I don't understand it all. I don't claim to. I just know there's a devil that's behind it all. Amen. But I believe this man wasn't much to look at. He may have had bad scars on his face, his hands, his arms. He's cut himself all to pieces. But I tell you right now, if you could just see the inside, amen, if you could just see the inside of that man, what a difference that the Lord. And I thought about this. Some of us, we've sown to the wind in our past, and we've sown to the flesh. You're nodding your head, Brother Chris. We got them stinking scars. And God's healed us, but the scars are still there. That's why I'm so excited about youngins trusting Jesus. Well, they don't need them scars. Say amen. Anybody that's got them would say, no, don't go that way. Amen. But I'll tell you something right now. I was in prison several years ago, and a man walked up to me, and he said, Brother Rick, I'm saved. But he said, I'm ashamed. And he had tattoos. I'm talking about the back of his fingers, up his arms, all the way up to his ears. And most of it was demonic. It was demons that he had tattooed. He said, I'm so ashamed of this. And I had never even thought this thought before, but I believe God gave me something to say to that man. I looked at that man and I said, sir. He said, I've met Jesus and I've been saved. See, that was the scars from that old life. And I looked at him, Brother Chris, and this is what I said to him. I said, sir, do you know the difference between your tattoos and mine? And I was wearing short sleeves, preaching in a hot chapel. And of course, he couldn't see a tattoo anywhere on me. He said, what? He didn't understand. He said, what's the difference? I said, you can see yours. I said, sin tattooed me too. But you just can't see the scars. But I promise you this, they're there. Amen. And I promise you this, where I'm going, the scars ain't going. And the flesh ain't going. And the devil ain't going. And his demons ain't going. Amen. I just thank my God this morning, beloved, that I can stand and tell you it's different now. Amen. Because he showed up in my life. Because he had power that overcome my pride. He gave me a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm still trying my best, Brother Don, to tell the old story that changed my life. I have a purpose in this world to tell others about Jesus. Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior we serve. He's still in the business. Devin, it might look hopeless, but we got to look not that away. We got to look that away. God, you're still on the road. Amen. And you're in the storm this morning. Listen, I know some of you are. The waves they're crashing all around and on your head, in your heart. You just remember what I'm saying. There's somebody on the other side of that storm that needs you to make it. They need you to make it and walk out of that storm on the other side and be a blessing. There's people in this world you can be a blessing to that wouldn't even give the pastor the time of day. Amen. But they'll listen. They'll listen. They'll listen. Why don't you speak a word for him? Amen. I'll give you something this morning. I was thinking about this, and something that I read, and I thought it was good. I study some after a man by the name of David Guzik, and it was recorded in his notes. He said, "Demons also attack men because they hate the image of God in man. They attack that image in debasing man and making him grotesque." Can I say this? There's a lot going on in our world today that's gross. If you just listen to the radio, you can't listen to the radio 30 minutes without hearing stories about stuff going on that's just gross. And he said, just as they did to this man in the country, the Gadarenes, he said, demons have the same goal in Christians, to wreck the image of God. But their tactics are restricted toward Christians because demonic spirits were disarmed by Jesus' work on the cross. Yet demonic spirits certainly can both deceive and intimidate Christians, binding them with fear and unbelief. Beloved, I felt the need, and I read that last night, to read that in the story this morning, in the service, in the message this morning, because I believe it's true. I believe it's true. We're talking about a missionary that we're going to be praying for. Help me pray this afternoon. We'll have special prayer tonight. I promise you, the devil's going to jump up on his shoulder. He's coming out of just 2 weeks ago on the mountain. Now he's in a deep, dark valley. And I'm going to tell you something. God's been good to our church. You listen to me. You listen to what I'm going to say. God forbid it ever happened. But I'm telling you, beloved, we can go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows in a heartbeat. This church has been through some of that. Somebody say amen. Your family right now can be just on the mountain. And I'm telling you, one phone call can turn your life upside down. How we need each other in these days. How we need a Savior's presence in these days. How we need His power. How we need His peace. And how we need to live out and fulfill the purpose. Justin and Amanda, God didn't save little Emma just to take her to heaven. She'd have went to heaven on Easter Sunday if that was true. But God has a purpose for little Emma. Pastor, don't know what that purpose is. God has a purpose for these people that's been saved and been following the Lord in believers' baptism. How we need, sometimes we pray and people get saved and we quit praying. What sense does that make?
Amen.
We need to keep praying for them, amen? That God will just help them, that purpose will be fulfilled in their life. Thank you for coming. Let's bow for prayer this morning. We'll get a song of invitation ready. It's different now.